Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah. Welcome to Bluffton Community. My name is Ben Till. I'm the community pastor, which is still weird that comes out of my mouth. But yeah, I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to be with you this morning as we open up God's Word and share that with you. Want to extend a special welcome to anybody who's joining us for the very first time. We're excited that you decided to be here with us. There's lots of things that you could be doing, lots of places that you could be. And I'll be honest with you, it's scary walking into a new place all by yourself for the very first time. It's scary to kind of try something out. So the fact that you guys did that, we're thankful and we're hopeful that you guys feel the Spirit of God transforming your life while you're here. I also want to say thank you to all the second time guests who came, because if you came for one time and we didn't scare you off and you said, hey, there's something there that I like, that's really exciting. That's actually almost as exciting, if not more exciting, than a first-time guest. Anybody can do something once. To do something twice means you're making that choice. So we're really thankful for you guys, and that means a lot that you're here. Whether you're here for the first time, here for the 100th time, this is a great time to be here. We're in the middle of our family meeting for the year, and this is kind of a weird way to do a family meeting, but we kind of decided as elders that family meetings are boring, and so we want to kind of make it more fun, and why not use the time that we have where everybody's here on a Sunday morning to just kind of talk about who we are and what our vision is for not only this year, but for our family of churches going on. So last week, Fritz kicked off the series in Ephesians 4 called All In Together. You'd see that title slide up there on the board, and you can probably, some of you can see yourselves when it was up there. But he asked us to identify with the next step last week, and the reaction to that was overwhelming. We had so many blue cards turned in. Those are the connection cards that Andrea was talking about, that it was almost like, it was almost too many. It was great. We had so many people that put stuff on there. We had a first time yes to Jesus. We had two other people who said yes to Jesus, like for the ongoing time. We had multiple people who expressed interest in being baptismed, as Andrea said earlier. So that's really exciting. We had dozens take the step of committing to unity, want to find new ways to serve, or want to serve for the very first time. So, like, can we give a round of applause for that? And so that's really exciting stuff. And when I say it was overwhelming, like, it was overwhelming in all sorts of different ways, but I was able to connect with so many people this week of just like, hey, what does this next step mean to you? How do we get you guys plugged in? And so this morning, we're going to kind of continue in that vein and talk about new ways that we can get plugged in. But we're going to start in Ephesians 4, verse 7, and we're going to read that in a little bit. But if you want to go ahead and earmark or kind of stick your finger in your Bible in Ephesians 4. I just want to kind of talk about this passage and this group of verses and what it means to Bluffton Community, because many of us maybe don't know the history of this passage and how much it means to this church. So nearly 5 years ago, there was a group of people from Lighthouse and Living Hope who looked at their rosters and said, there are, I think it was like nearly 60 people, and I think that was adults and kids, that are coming every single week to Findlay to find the community that exists in the churches of Living Hope and Lighthouse. And they said, what if we like took a stab at seeing if that was something that could happen in Bluffton? And so there was a group of people that prayed, and they got together at the YFC building over there by the high school, and we just started to kind of brainstorm and pray and seek God together to see if this is something that Bluffton could use a New Testament church. And during those meetings, the verses of Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 said, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so what happened that night is a common thread started to develop within that group of people, and it began to shape what we now know as Bluffton Community. And what we noticed over the next few weeks and months and years is that those who stayed with that group were people who said, I'm going to church, but I want to serve. I want to step into a role that not only helps other people grow and other people say yes to Jesus, but helps me grow myself. And whether or not we recognized it, the people who were most invested had that desire to discover their gifts, to take the next steps of spiritual growth, and to join God in his mission to rescue people from sin and death. Fritz mentioned it last week that there are no bleacher seats. Yeah, I want to get out of the bleachers. I want to get off the bench, and I want to start to serve. And several of those people started to train this morning. And I'm thankful that Bluffton Community has become a place where so many people are not only hearing God's word, but they're stepping in to those steps of spiritual growth as the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. Likewise, it's the common prayer of our church that we continue to grow and help each other discover our spiritual gifts and use them to serve others in a meaningful way. And what I'd like to invite some, or this morning, is I'd like to invite Marty Cotter up here. Everybody knows him as the fun elder, so if we can give him the... But Marty and I are going to be kind of co-teaching this morning, but the reason that I wanted to kind of invite Marty up here is this is the guy who, as we're going to read in Ephesians 4, has been one of those leaders. He's been one of those special gifts that Christ has, gifted our church with and really gifted me just with the way that he has poured into my life. And so I'm going to ask Marty to pray for us as we start here, and then he's going to read from Ephesians 4 to get us going.
Thanks for saying that, man. That was kind.
Well, that's the truth.
Are we too close? Is that the deal?
I don't know, Matt. What are we doing here?
Back up? Back up. Back up seems bad. Back up better? You
hey,
so happy?
Everybody. Lower your expectations
for
today, this morning.
Ben, right. Ben's happy to talk a lot. I'm happy to talk a lot, and now we're going to try to do this together, so it can
Matt's
get weird
us.
Today.
We're good. We're good.
We're all straight?
Yeah. Sound guy.
All beauty. Right. Thank you. Okay. Can I get close enough to my Bible to read it? First, let's just go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for today. Thanks for the ways that you've, every time I hear Ben walk kind of through the history of this, it's so clear, God, what you've been doing in Bluffton, and I am thankful for every person that is here, for every step of we don't know what's going to happen next, but we're going to step and just know that you're going to be there and it happens. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for you and we're thankful for the Holy Spirit leading us through all these things. As we go through these verses today, just know that any clever thing that Ben and I have discussed or gone through here, wash those out of our mouths. Make sure that only the things that you want us to say are coming out. And when we're unclear about something, Holy Spirit, just activate the ears of the people in this room to hear what we're trying to communicate clearly and let us get out of the way. God, we trust you and we know you are good. We love you. Praise in your name. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and read those verses that are up on the screen. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and we're going to read 7 through 13. But grace was given to each. He led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. So in contrast to last week's clear message of unity that Fritz talked about in verses 1 through 6, where it focused on the following oneness. It talked about the oneness of the body, of the spirit, the glorious hope for the future, for our Lord, for our faith, baptism, God the Father of all, who is over all, in all, and through all. This week we see that Paul begins to show how that unity happens, and it actually happens in diversity. Talks about in verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. We are united in the Holy Spirit, but through the generosity of Christ, we are each uniquely gifted with special and diverse gifts for the building up of the ministry. And the interesting thing here The NLT uses the word special gift, and then, you know, some other translations use the word grace, but that word is a word that means undeserved favor, and it's a word that we see all the time throughout Scripture. It's a word, you know, that was kind of talked about, like with Mary, when the Holy Spirit descended on her, she was, you know, given this favor that was undeserved, but really interesting, it's in Ephesians 2:8, just a couple chapters before this, where it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So in the same way that salvation is a gift from God that is graced to us as a gift, the things that we're talking about today, the leaders within the church are those special gifts that he has given us.
So this begs the question, what are these gifts that Paul's talking about here? It's less a what than a who. If we look back at verse 11, Paul gets to the identification of the gifts Christ has given us. It says, and he gave the apostles sent on mission to share the words of God. Prophets were those that were there sent to interpret and share messages from God. Evangelists are those who bring the good news. Shepherd is one who feeds and protects. And some other of your translations might say pastor. Those are kind of together. Teacher's just that. It's an instructor. And those two are kind of synonymous with one another. Christ gives his church by calling leaders to train and equip people through their careful communication and instruction of God's word. This word, to equip, and that's one that we want to highlight there, to equip, denotes like training, a bringing to a condition of fitness. And think of kind of like personal trainers. Their job is to go ahead and bring you in and help you step into a condition of discipline.
Ooh, yikes. Anybody else like just clutched their chest when they heard the word discipline, right? Like we think discipline, we think of like punishment, you know, it's been kind of hijacked by the punishment police, but really that word comes from the word disciple, okay? Jesus had 12 disciples that followed him around, and what that means is that it's someone who learns. So Jesus called these people to learn from him. He called these people to be disciplined in the way of life that he was showing them. And so as leaders, we should be ready to teach, and as the church, we should be eager to learn and then find others to share what we have learned with. And as elders, we've been discussing this question as kind of like a vision for this year. What if our churches were able to train and equip 200 local missionaries to go out into our area? We have kind of resonated on the fact from the very beginning that Living Hope Lighthouse, they saw that there was 50,000 lost people within Hancock County that don't know Jesus. Those are some people that are sitting within churches right now. Those are people who are not going to church at all. Those are people who are one invitation away from saying yes to Jesus. And it's our job to go out and share the gospel with them. You throw us into that mix, and it's like we're now in Allen County and Putnam County and Hancock. Like we're kind of that tri-county area. And so the harvest is ripe, guys. And what we can do is we can make an impact on that number of people through the things that we're going to talk about this morning.
Ministry in the New Testament is defined in many ways, but from the beginning, Bluffton Community has remained steadfast in looking at Acts 2:42 to define what ministry looks like. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, specifically the Lord's Supper, and to prayers. The model of churches for many years in America is that one person devotes themselves or herself to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship with others, to hospitality, and they. This is a plural pronoun relating to the fact that there were many people doing in the community all in together rather than some individual, this is just mine in my own space sort of thing. This is a community of people working collectively to accomplish what it is that God has for them.
Yeah. So it reminded me of a couple weeks ago. It was like the last weekend of the Olympics, and I was watching it with a buddy, and they got to like the women's 1500, and they kind of broke away from the sports to talk about just like a personal piece. And honestly, when I'm watching the Olympics, those are my favorite pieces. It's like the inspirational part. But this lady, she had won gold in two Olympics ago. She had won gold again and then had a kid. in between, I think her first and second one, or maybe it was the second in this Olympics. And so she knew that she was going to have a rougher road getting back to the Olympics than she had had in years past. And so what she did is, I think she was from Kenya, and she went and she found a community of people. And this community lived by this motto. They said, a community is a group of people who are committed to growing together. And I was like, man, that's powerful. That's powerful. And so as they were talking about this, then they, you know, went to the race. And I mean, she not only won, she dominated everybody. I mean, she's like had a baby like, you know, not too long ago. And now she's running the 1500 in I think like 3 minutes and 51 seconds. Set an Olympic record. But she could not have done that kind of stuff on her own. She needed a group of people around her. She needed that community to help her get strong, to help her grow, and help her keep going. And that's exactly what we're hoping that this community of believers is. It's hard. It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to say yes to Jesus on a daily basis, but we do it together, okay? And that's what we want to be as Bluffton Community.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. That's the context of Bluffton Community is we're a group of people committed to growing together and serving one another in ways that help us to honor and glorify God in what we do and say yes to Jesus' leadership in our lives. We're so much stronger together than anything that we could accomplish on our own. And kind of to do that, you guys know I like marker boards. If Ben, you want to grab the marker board, yeah. We can kind of, we thought it'd be kind of a fun way for us to, Ben's got way better penmanship than me. Sort of a fun way to look at this would be to just kind of put on the board some of the ways, for example, Bluffton Community searches to equip the disciples. So here we go. What do we got here? So in teaching, obviously, we have teaching that goes up top there. I'm going to talk slow so I don't get ahead of his handwriting there. So under kind of the category of teaching, we have sermons. Mm-hmm. We have music.
Everybody's going, your handwriting's better than Marty.
When I'm doing it. We've got prayer. We could put kids and students on there. What did I forget? Amy, did I forget something good right there? Is that good? Good start? Small groups? We're getting there. I can't wait. She looked at the notes. She's ahead of us. We're coming to small groups.
Chill out, so, Amy.
I know. I can't pass Amy on that one. I didn't ask her beforehand, so that
this
was my fault.
That's why you don't ask the crowd, man.
I know. Ministry teams. We got ministry teams, and we're coming to small groups so soon. So you may not think of these things right off the top of your head, but these are such good things. When you consider on your way in today, there were people that were greeting you on the way in the door, and that's one of a great ministry team where you think, I'm just handing them a bulletin and saying, welcome in. But that's a big deal. You have a big part of helping people feel ushered into a time of worship, and so thank you for those of you that are a part of that ministry team, because that's good, and it's a positive thing to do. We have hospitality. Some of you have had incredible donuts today, or coffee, or water, and those are folks that have been here for quite a while today, making sure that that is prepped and ready to go, and again, ushering us into a spot where we can have the coffee on and get our brains right before we get going into...
That's important.
That is important. We have the hosting team, part of that also. You may not know this, but we have a safety team. There are people that are here that are looking out for our safety. They're making sure that property is secure. We live in a kind of a spot today where sometimes there are people that don't have the best intentions. And so there are people in this building that are making sure that we're safe and that we can come to this place in a good way. We have the audio and tech team. You guys just saw them in acting. Ben and I would have just butchered this for a while trying to fix that sound. And they're like, beep, boop, boop, boop. Fixed, just like
yeah,
that.
It took Matt like all of 30 seconds to figure that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, it was no time at all.
I'd have just turned it all off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would have been here today. Like, guys, you're doing just like this, but this is so much better, right? Did I miss any ministry teams, Ben?
I think that's it.
We're okay for that one?
That's it for now.
There's probably something that we're not thinking of.
Now, though. Amy, what are we missing?
You said it before. Small groups. Let's talk about small groups. Small groups are like our mini house churches. Small groups is kind of how Bluffton Community got going through a small group. And I can tell you, if you've been here for a minute, I've told you this before, I can't tell you how important it is for you to be a part of a small group, how big of an impact it's had on us. You know, for some of you, you've been in this community for a long time. You know some of the people, things like that. 3 years ago, my family and I, we moved here and we knew no one. And by God's grace, like we were invited to come to this church by someone that didn't go to this church, which is kind of wild. But pretty quickly, we were able to get involved with a small group, and that is our family. These are people that when I get here on a Sunday morning, they're the people I'm looking for, that I'm hugging, that we do life together, because that's what small groups are all about. Mm-hmm. I love small groups a whole bunch, and they're worth your time. I think Ben's got a story about small groups.
And I think I've told this story. I know I've told it to like individuals, and I probably told it up here, but it's a story I'm just going to keep telling because it's so good. This summer, my family was gone, and I got invited to someone else's small group because they know I'm helpless and I can't feed myself. So they're like, we're going to feed you, man. And so I went over there, and it wasn't just them inviting me over. It was the things that I saw when I was there. It was the people who weren't there because they were on vacation, but they were on their way home and they stopped and they came to small group because they just wanted to be around their people and they missed them. It was the guy who was working a double shift that day who I saw going the other direction and I thought I was too late to get there. Well, he was just going home to shower quick and then head to small group and got there late. And I mean, they were there before me. And they were there after I left, just hanging out with one another. And this is where we go deep. This is where we get in connection with one another and really build that community that we're talking about.
Yeah, man, it's good. I love hearing that story. It's like verses 12 and 13, where it says, to equip the saints for work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is how we grow together. This is how we, those moments, like we can come here on a Sunday morning and this is good and we're going to get this deep, right? But in small groups is where we really dive in and grow together and kind of build our way through that in unity. And there's purpose behind it. The help us say yes to Jesus every day and help connect others. This is not part of our notes, but as I'm standing here talking about small groups, it's such a clear thing. As this church grows, we have to keep getting smaller. We need more small groups. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of people sign up for small groups last week that said that they might be interested in leading a small group. We have small group signups starting next week. It really is important to get connected to that sort of ministry pretty quickly because it fastens you and makes sure that you have people that are helping hold you accountable and do some things and really find joy in that.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, look out for that next week. We've got a calendar, kind of like a catalog that'll come out. We've got some traditional small groups, some non-traditional small groups. And the thing is, there's probably small groups that are already happening, and we just don't even know that they're happening. And that's kind of cool too. So like as we figure those things out, we just kind of continue to build that. I think at one point I've heard Lighthouse has said that they've had like they have over 100% involvement in small groups. Like, how is that possible? Well, they have people from outside the church that are engaging in small group, and that's happening at Bluffton too. And one of the things that verse 13 talked about was like growing in that faith and that knowledge. And sometimes that's kind of like that weird word of like growing in knowledge. And this isn't an intellectual or an academic thing. It's something that we studied a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago now in 2 Peter towards the beginning of the summer. And it says, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, when I read through that passage, things like making every effort, becoming more productive and useful, working hard to prove, stand out to me. And they stand out to me for good and bad reasons, because a lot of us have heard that in the past. And it's like, well, if you're not doing, if you're not busy, then you're not a real Christian. And that is not what 2 Peter is saying here. He's not saying that you do these things because these things save you. It's not a do it or else. It is, this is what you do because you are saved. These are the actions of people who have trusted Christ for their salvation, and these are the things that are the outflows of that type of a heart that's been given over to God.
Yeah, this is why in our mission, vision, and values document, we have the six outcomes that we talk about, and this is why we measure based on those. I think we have those on a slide here, maybe the six outcomes. Go in once, go in twice. Almost there. There we go. There we are. So as you walk through these, if you've never seen that document, we can get it to you. Just ask for it. We'll get it over to you. Do we have that somewhere? It's probably construction. We don't have it in there. But as you look through these outcomes, we'll experience forgiveness and new life that only comes from faith in Jesus as forgiver and leader. We'll hear God's voice through the Bible, through prayer, and through other growing disciples. We'll throw down the guilt of religion and enjoy God's grace. We'll take steps in real and meaningful spiritual growth as the Holy Spirit transforms their life. We'll discover their spiritual gifts and use them to serve others, and then join God in his mission to rescue people from sin and death.
So what that video just showed is last week, that is the outflow of what people do when they say yes to Jesus. They get baptized, they take steps of growth. And guys, this is not natural. This is a supernatural thing. This is not something that we can conjure up. And if we did do that, that's not a good thing. That gets into obligation and that gets into coercion. And that's not something that we want to do. But there were five people who said yes to Jesus and took that step of baptism last week. And it was such a great time to celebrate together. Those are people who are saying, yes, I'm planting my flag in this, and yes, I'm joining God in his mission to rescue lost people from sin and death. Like we were talking about earlier, like we live in a really nice town, right? I mean, I'm going to reference a movie that I'm not suggesting anybody watch, okay? But like there's a movie, and I'm not even going to say the name of it, but it was like this really sweet town in England, and it was like basically there was a group of people that just like hid all the bad stuff, and they hid all the bad stuff by like killing people off and making sure that nobody did anything bad, and they always just talked about for the greater good. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. We kind of live in that type of a town, right? Like where it's like everything's really awesome, and we just kind of hide all the bad stuff. We don't really talk about the bad stuff. We just like, oh yeah, everything's fine, everything's good. Because that's not the case. Like we live in a broken world. We live in a broken society, and there is as much sin and death in Bluffton as there is anywhere else. Okay, we can all think of like that place, right? Where it's like, oh man, that's a really bad place. That's where there's a lot of sin and death. There's a lot of that just masked by affluence here. Okay. We can kind of, you know, put on a smile and act like we're okay. But there's plenty of people who need Jesus right here in this community and right here in this town. And so what we saw on that video are just some of the people who have said yes to Jesus within the last like year or two. We've had 11 people, if you go all the way back to 2023, who have said, we had like a lot of people right off the bat. And then we kind of had like a lull. And a lot of that was because we were doing setup teardown. We just didn't have a way to do it. But in the last, you know, year and a half or so, we've just had people just stepping into that and doing that. By all accounts, we have doubled in size over the past several years. Just go ask our kids town workers. They're like, oh my gosh, people, like, yeah. There's a lot of kids and a lot of babies, to the point like we had to recondition one of the rooms to be a nursery. That was not in the plan. That was supposed to be a different room, but it's a nursery now, which is a huge blessing and a great place for parents to take their kids. And all of this was happening in a time when there was like only volunteer ministry going on. We haven't had a full-time pastor here. We've had a lot of great influence from Lighthouse and from Living Hope who have helped us out. But for years, Kelly was serving as our director of ministry in a part-time role. And he was doing way more than that part-time role asked him to do. Amy has been in a part-time role as our worship director. And our worship is phenomenal, right? Yeah, we can clap for these things. Yeah, yeah. If I would stop talking, we could clap for these things. Sarah in a part-time role as a Kidstown director, Elena, who's helping us out behind the scenes and doing all the administrative work. They're putting in time, they're putting in effort that has just been awesome. And everyone else here is doing the same thing. Bluffton Community is a team effort because we serve and lead as a team. And so this has been and will continue to be a church where a majority of the work is done by volunteers. And these are people that have been transformed by the truth, like I read in Romans 6:22. I was reading this, I think, on like Thursday or Friday morning, and it says this: "But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life." And this is a word that Fritz talked about last week. Paul refers to himself as a slave of God. Here, Paul is talking to the Romans, and you guys are slaves of God. And I think I highlighted that at one of my other teachings. This is something that you've done by choice. We're not enslaved by force. We're enslaved because there is no greater master, and we're going to stick with that one. Like, we have the choice to be free, but we're like, I'm sticking with him, man, because where else would I go? It's Peter when Jesus is like, is anybody else going to leave? And he's like, you have the words to life and life everlasting. Where else would we go?
Yeah, it would be real quick for Ben to just pass by. He mentioned before, but as a church, we do sit at sort of an inflection point where it's like, well, hey, now we've hired a community pastor. We got Ben. We can go ahead and just go, okay. Ben's been working the traps. He's got big shoulders. We can just place it on this guy now. He's going to take the ministry to the next level. And that will absolutely fail. We are where we are today, not because of clever schemes or ministry tactics. We are where we're here today because God's brought us to this moment. And now it's time to shift gears into the next mode and continue moving forward. On a separate note, but the same, it comes to giving. If you've received that email or gone back and found it, you got an email that, you know, part of this business discussion side of this is in relation to giving. So obviously, building, we've got some concerns. You know, we got window units running some things right now and stuff like that. Giving is a portion, and generosity is a portion of honoring God with all that he's provided for us, times, talents, and treasures. And so if you haven't had a chance to look at the budget, go ahead and look at the budget, and it does look different because we have some different expenses that have come into play now for this year, and they're good expenses. It's just a moment for us to recognize this is what it is and then look at our individual situations and figure out what is God calling me to do and calling me into generosity for the following year and things like that. So, but all of this points to those in this church body growing in maturity and measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ.
And so when we see that, you know, I think that's in verse 13 where it's like we're all going to do this until we reach unity, until we reach the full measure of Christ. And Marty and I were talking about that as we were preparing for this. And it's like that can be one of those statements. It's like, how do we ever do that? How do we ever get to the point where we're measuring up to the fullness of Christ? And so we were trying to dig through and find some different things. And so it kind of like highlights how do we do that in verses 8 through 10, where it talks, he's quoting a psalm, and he's quoting David here, who's talking about a God who descended and a God who gave gifts to men. And so, or I'm sorry, a God who ascended. And so what that leads to is it's like if he ascended, that means he had to have come down because God has sat atop everything for eternity. He is the creator God who is above all and in all and through all. And so he had to have brought himself down. And it talks about the lowly places of earth. And so how did he do that? Well, he chose to. He chose to in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And so Marty's going to read from Philippians 2, 5 through 11 as it talks about the way Christ saw his position.
Yep. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. You must have the same attitude that instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
So when we see that, when we hear Paul's words, when we see the psalm that David wrote, David didn't know what we know. David didn't know what Paul knew, in that this is talking about Christ. This is something that points us forward. Mark 10:45 said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." So at Bluffton Community, we help people say yes to Jesus' leadership in their life. And Jesus' leadership was shown in the way that he came to serve. As we take the position of serving, we begin to live on purpose and grow into the full and complete standard of Christ. And so the question that we want to try to kind of close with is, how do we do that today? And so that's where we talked about the connection card earlier. So if you could do me a favor, take that little blue card out, the connection card. We talk about it so much, like it makes you roll your eyes, but it's like seriously the most important thing. I think, Marty, you've talked about it before, like every number has a name. And this is not just a way, like we really don't take attendance with this, so that's not what this is about. It's about connecting with the names of people. And hopefully some of you guys saw that in action this week. But we're going to kind of work our way from the bottom to the top. So like if you could turn it over on the back, there's like a comments and prayer section. If you write something down on here, there's a team of people who are prepared to pray for you, and they do pray for you. We get a list of the report every single week, and we kind of go through that thing by name and just pray for anything that you guys have put on there and on your heart. And it's been really fun to watch the prayers just develop as this church has developed. It's gone from like, Lord, please give me this, or please help me with that, of like instead to, hey, God, I'm praying for the salvation of my brother. I'm praying for the salvation of my mother, and things like that. And you can really see people joining in on that mission, that rescue to save people from sin and death. The next one up from that is to memorize that passage that we just read, Mark 10:45. It's a short passage. I had all sorts of plans to wear my serve shirt today, and I woke up this morning and went into autopilot and put on my Bluffton Community T-shirt. But that's a of creation. He's the one who is above all, in all, and through all. I can't say that enough. I've said it like 10 times this morning. But he came to serve us. He came to die for us. And he came to give his life as a ransom for many. That's huge, guys. And so that's a promise that I want us all to commit to memorizing. The next one up is that I'm ready to join God in his rescue mission. There are people who are lost. There are people who are subject to sin and death in our community, and I want them to know, I want them to love Jesus, and I want them to make the decision that I've made. And then lastly is the decision that we ask everybody to make every single week, whether that's for the first time or for the 100th time, and that's to say yes to Jesus as my forgiver and leader. And guys, that's something like a lot of us, like we're all about Jesus as Savior, right? Jesus as forgiver of my sins. We get into the Savior as Lord part, and it's like, I like to drive this ship, and Jesus is my co-pilot. You remember that old saying? That's the wrong orientation, man. Jesus is the pilot. He's the driver, and if we're the ones that are like sitting there and we're trying to drive this ship on our own, we're messing it up every single time. And so we ask you guys to give your life to Jesus as forgiver and leader, to as Savior and Lord, because it is a double-edged sword, and we need to do both. So with that, we're going to pray, and we're going to move into musical worship again. So, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the things that you have done in and through this body of believers. We're thankful for the way that you have called so many into leadership. This is not This is not a Ben and Marty thing. This is a Carol Williams. This is an Amy Russell. This is a Nicole McConaughey. This is a Sarah Till. This is a group of people who have stepped into leadership, who have stepped into saying yes to you, and have committed themselves, their time, their talents, everything that they have to saying yes and bringing others along with them. One of my favorite quotes from a leadership book that I read is, to be a leader, you've got to bring people with you. Otherwise, you're just a hiker. And Lord, my prayer is that as this church, we would be leaders. We would be people who would slow ourselves down and say, come with me. Come beside me as I follow Christ. And as I do that, they will do that as well. Help us to not do this thing on our own heart in this body. So I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Last thing that we do, I'm back on, is as we go into our final song, we have prayer partners, and they have already disappeared from the front here and slipped to the back.